basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I ask you to be Lord and lifted up as we study 1 Corinthians here, that we'd see your will just accomplished in our lives. So we praise you, we thank you, give you all the glory. And Lord Jesus, may we leave here today. That'd be my prayer. Each and every time we gather, Lord, as a fellowship, that we would leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than we came here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Hey, turn with me to 1 Corinthians as we crack open a new letter, an epistle from the Apostle Paul. Say that seven times. Here is a letter. And Paul writing in Corinth. In chapter 18 of Acts, you might want to put your fingers there because we might read a little bit of it there. But Paul has gone to Corinth. He has established this church. He spent almost, three and a half years in Corinth. He had a considerable amount of time with the Corinthians there. This is that part of Greece. Paul, in verse 1 here, says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother. Okay, we got to go to chapter 18. You got to go to chapter 18 because there's a lot there. There's nothing mentioned. The Holy Spirit is what gave man what to write. And the Holy Spirit's signature is all over the Word of God. That you know that this is not humanly inspired, but divinely inspired. In other words, it comes from the Lord himself. And so nothing's mentioned. The Holy Spirit didn't have a writing assignment. You've got to write the Bible. Holy Spirit, get some men and fill them with yourself. Get them to write what I tell you to write. And we need a lot of filler words. I want so many thousands of words. This is an English report. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had, you know, an English teacher around that sometimes kids, you know, a 500-word report, and they go a long, long, long time ago, an old, 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 old dude lived, and they're just counting all the words. The Holy Spirit didn't have that writing assignment. So when he mentions dates and facts and figures and names, there's a reason. So go to chapter 18. Chapter 18 says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded that the Jews depart from Rome. In other words, there was this rumor going around that the Jews, again, the most persecuted people group in all of the world's history, things are happening bad in Rome. It's the Jews' fault. Later, we're also going to see that Nero also blames the Christians as well. But the Jews depart from Rome and came unto them. Corinth was originally a Greek city. And around 146 BC, they pretty much started their decline. And around 46 BC, it was reestablished by Julius Caesar. And it pretty much was colonized by Rome. We're going to see a lot of Greek things there. The Temple of Aphrodite was there, a horrible, horrible temple of worship with a lot of immorality. But the Romans were into that as well. And so they kind of did a lot of things there. The Greeks are the ones who started crucifixion. It's the Romans who conquered them later, said, hey, that's a good thing. And they improved on it. They made it even worse. Alexander the Great and all the others in the Greek, they were pretty. Crucifixion was just a means of killing somebody quickly and painfully and get it done and over. The Romans made it an art form where they dragged it out for days and sometimes up to a week sometimes. And so they take it from the Greek culture. So they're here in Corinth. Corinth is now a Roman city. And it's pretty much the majority of its population are freed slaves. People who either sold themselves into indentured servitude, bought their way out, or conquered people, but they were colonized. So Rome says, hey, we got to get a bunch of people there. It's the same thing that we see happening around the world when Panama, a country to our south, when they got rid of Noriega, we helped them. and establishes things. There's a lot of people expatriating to Panama and to Costa Rica because they're giving them property. They're saying you can own property here, you can own land here, and they're trying to get as many people there as Corinth was. A lot of people from a lot of different countries coming there, and it's a Roman colony, but they're bringing everything with them from their culture, and they're bringing it into Corinth. And then Rome says, okay, we're all going to start speaking Latin, Espiritu Santo. He's going to be doing all these things. Greek is the common language of the day. And so now you find a lot of Christians, you find a lot of Jews, you find Gentiles all populating Corinth. And they had a couple of ports there. There's this thing called the Isthmus. I've been there. Those of you who've been with us to Greece, it used to be a 4-mile long channel that they would unload on one part of on the peninsula because they didn't want to travel around the. Look at your Bible maps, folks. They didn't want to sail around there for all the storms. So they would unload these ships, transport them 4 miles across the Isthmus and then to the other sea, and then they would go on and be able to get to Italy. That was actually a more economical way. Now there's a channel there. Now there's a wide, they made a canal there, and so that connects the two oceans there. So this is a very popular city. This is a place that people are traveling, coming and going. It's a seaport city. And again, there's a lot going on there. Verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought by their occupation. They were tent makers. So Paul was a tent maker. That's how he supported himself in ministry, also with the donations of others, but pretty much supported himself. When it came to Corinth, they worked, and Priscilla and Aquila were there as well. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus came from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ, the Messiah. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God and whose house joined hard to the synagogue. In other words, they were sharing maybe a common wall there. So, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Now that's kind of interesting. When the Lord comes to you and speaks to you at night and says, hey, don't be afraid. Well, I wasn't afraid. Well, just when something happens, don't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid, but when the Lord warns you, don't be afraid. I just tell you something. The Holy Spirit, that's a Holy Spirit gut check. Get ready. Something's coming because he's giving you a warning. Because when you're not afraid about something, and then he says, be afraid. Be very afraid. No, don't. Don't. And so you're going to speak. And so something's going to happen here. So understand that it's even this way in Israel. When we tour Israel, the further you get away from Jerusalem, the more everyone's open to the gospel. The further you get away from Mecca, Medina, maybe the Muslims are more open to the gospel. When you get the further away from the temple in Salt Lake City, the Mormons are more, well, maybe they're not. And the Jehovah's Witnesses. And you see, the further you get away from that source, they might be more open to it. And so now here is Jew and Gentile, people from around the world now are colonizing there in Rome. They have their citizenship. Things are going great for them. It's a great economy. Things are going great. And so here, Paul's able to support himself in the ministry. Now a synagogue ruler. This is the guy who kind of takes care of the facilities and the buildings and brings in the guest speakers. Remember, another synagogue ruler invited Jesus in to come and read, and he read out of Isaiah 61 there in Nazareth. And so that's what the synagogue ruler does. He kind of lines up all the guest speakers, the guest rabbis coming through. But interesting about this synagogue, Jew and Gentile alike are coming there. And they seem to be open to it. And this is like, and because understand this, when it came to Judaism, or when it offered something that the other or all the pagan religions, or just religion in period, didn't offer. They believed in one God. Now they were mocked by the other nations because there was one God you can't see, But then they would continue to talk about, well, we can see him. Can you create a blade of grass? Can you do these things? They talked about creation. They did all these things. And they offered some things. People were looking for a moral way out of the immorality. God has placed in every man, woman, and child that there is a conscience. There is some type of moral compass in your life. And when that gets all messed up, oh man, it really gets bad. And so there's something that's driving them to this Judaism. It's offering them something. And so here, my friend who pastors in Motherwell, Calvary Motherwell in Scotland, the mosques there are Muslim light. They're not where you have to pray five times a day, get on prayer rugs. A lot of the mosques that has happened with Islam over in Scotland, pretty much the UK, but in Scotland, they've taken over all the mainline denominational churches that are out of business. And no longer people are going. And people in Scotland are going, when we were visiting with them, he goes, that's a mosque. Oh, that does not look like a mosque. That looks like an old Lutheran church or a Presbyterian church. He goes, yeah, the Muslims are getting bodies and getting numbers and they're increasing here. And here's the thing. The Muslims offer a moral compass to the young Scottish. Waited into their 30s and 40s to get married and have kids. And now they're looking for some type of moral compass. And the Muslim mosque, the Muslims provide that because there's supposed to be no divorce in Islam. There is, by the way. No alcoholism. There is. No adultery. There is. No abuse. There is. But on the outside, they say we offer moral compass. Because why? The Church of England, by the way, which is headed by the Queen of England, and her son, I don't know if you know, one of her kids got married yesterday, Prince Harry, and she was allowed to go to the Church of England with him while I think they were still living together. And I'm not going to say that they might have been fornicating, but by all intents and purposes, it looked like that. But I don't want to judge, but you know, I guess I am. You can tell by the sarcasm. And then if Prince Charles doesn't end up being king, then it's Prince William. But I think him and his wife kind of cohabitated a little bit before. And then if he dies, then we know then it's going to there. And they're the head of the Church of England. There's homosexuality, same-sex marriages, drunkenness, divorce. It's just rampant. So the Church of England is headed by the royal family. That's pretty much the whole Church of England, and people in Scotland are going, yeah, we don't want that. We want something that offers a moral compass. And right now, Islam is offering a moral compass in Scotland. My friend who pastors Calvary Motherwell says if 1 to 2 people a year come to Christ in their community, that's a revival. It is hard, hard, hard territory. Many people go to Scotland, they feel they want to evangelize and go there, and they get very discouraged. And if one person comes to Christ in just a year, that is considered a revival. And so I'll be praying for them as well. But they offer moral compass. Why? Because you and I are religious people. We religiously do things. If you don't believe me, next day, start your day and see which side you shave or which side you brush your teeth or, you know, what you do. How do you put your socks and shoes on? Is it sock, sock, shoe, shoe? Is it sock, shoe, sock, shoe? I mean, just think about how you religiously do these things. And we're looking for these habits. We're looking for these things. And then when it comes to some type of moral compass, you're just looking for something greater than yourself. Well, in the UK, and they've toned it down. You don't know, it's not wearing the long beards. You won't even know that these people consider themselves Muslim. It's a Muslim light there. But the Muslims count it as their numbers. And so here we have some of the same things that's happening here. Jew and Gentile alike are coming to the synagogue because the Jews seem to be morally a little bit better than what they're experiencing. So they go to Jesus' house. God speaks to the Holy Spirit through Paul, says, don't be afraid. Paul says, why is that? Just wake up in the morning and find out. Verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Acacia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. Well, again, the Jews are using the law. They needed to bring Jesus to Pilate because their right of execution was taken away from them. So they needed to use the Romans to execute him because they couldn't very well go ahead and kill him themselves. And again, they're using the law because that was one of the other things that the Jews couldn't do. They couldn't take a pinch of salt, and that was how you pledged to the emperor cult religion of Caesar and to his family that you're following them, that they would be God. And so they couldn't do that. So they're expelled out. And then we're going to see later that Christians, the same way, could not take that loyalty oath to the Caesar. And so he says that he goes against the law. Well, so do you, Jews, because now they're saying the same thing the Muslims say. They're saying, how can God have a son? That's what Muslims say. How can God have a son? So you're talking about two or three different gods. Muslims look at God, Jesus, and Mary as three gods. They say, how can that be? There's only one God, and Allah is our God. And that's just use the Mormon. You can use Mormonisms. You can use many gods. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is the Michael the Archangel. Not true. So here in Corinth, they're using the law to come after Paul. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names of your law, see, your law is not our law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of this matter. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sothenes, underline that verse right there, took Sothenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Galileo cared for none of those. Now go with me back to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, we have Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother. I'm not advocating this, but Sothenes was beat into the kingdom of God. He was the synagogue ruler. He's the one to invite Paul's in. Paul comes in, preaches. They say, we don't like this. They try to use the law to get him killed or whatever, driven out. That doesn't work. So what do? They beat up. What is it about a religion, and any religion, that says even they're a religion of peace, they're a religion of love, but there's no tolerance? Hey, aside from Islam, let me tell you the most intolerant religion that's out there, the Baha'i. Oh, wait a minute, those are the yoga people. There is no such thing as Christian yoga, by the way, as there's no such thing as Christian baseball, Christian plumbing. Yoga is a religion, by the way. And so here, the Baha'i are the most intolerant. They're New Agey. But outside of America, they kill people. They say, Baha'i says, we take the best of all religions, and then we make that our religion. You took the best from everything, we make our religion. But if a Christian who says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, there's no way unto the Father except through him, well, that's just very narrow-minded. That's just, you can't be dealing with that. They actually kill people. This is the Baha'i people. These are the people who chant and meditate. They have these meditation chambers and temples, and they do that. Muslims are just more radicalized as far as their faith and what they do, and they're more publicized. But don't forget about the Baha'i as well. They're the most intolerant. See, this is Sothenes. And Sothenes had the same experiences I've met with Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Muslims, especially Muslims in prison outside of America. Muslims who go to prison and they find that they have a brotherhood with other Muslims, they find that, no, it's prison culture takes over in any country. I've met many of former Muslims who became Christians because of the way that they were treated by their fellow Muslims. I've known many of people who've called themselves Christians who no longer walk with the Lord because of the way that they feel other Christians have treated them or how they should have felt they should have been treated. So it goes around. But here's something that when you see the bankruptcy of religion and what it leads to, religion is man's attempt to reach up before God. Again, the first recorded case of religion, Adam and Eve. They covered themselves with fig leaves. Not the best thing to choose, by the way. They found that out. But God looked upon them and says, that's not good enough. And then God clothed them. God clothed them. God, because that relationship that he has with them. And so here, they're in Corinth. Sothenes, synagogue ruler, because obviously Justice, he became a believer. He's no longer the synagogue ruler. Here it is, 18 months later, quite possibly, that Sothenes sees the futility, like, hey, I made a mistake. Man, you make a mistake and you're going to pay heavily for that. They're going to beat on somebody. What is it when your religion or your belief system goes bad that you got to beat up on others? All I need to know is how you treat women and children when it comes to religion. And if they're treated better than dogs, that's all I need to know. How are you treating one another? Listen, it's a song. It's based on God's word. They'll know we are Christians by our covered hot dish. See, if you bring a covered hot dish over to somebody's house, then they know that you love them. If it's just tinfoil, like, oh, I'm not worth a cover, huh? No, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We love him because he first loved us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jim, get that video ready, but I want you to understand something when it comes to Corinth. And even right now, there is no greater evil today than there was in Paul's time. There is no greater evil today than was in Adam and Eve's time. There's no greater evil. We just have social media and ways to propagate it. I have this video. This is because of the school shootings and things that have come out. Ray Comfort from Living Waters University, or it's his own university there. You can go look him up. He put this video out, and he started it after the Parkland shooting, but now he felt he needed to get it out. But watch this, and I want you to understand something. Go ahead, Jim. That this is, again, explanation of what's happening today and why we have those evils. Is it cranking? Is it doing it? There we go. Push play. There you go. Send it out to the world, Jim. This is the cause and the cure.
Now, this is one of the deadliest school shootings in U.S. history. It seems we're saying that well too often these days.
People killed in a mass shooting at a Florida high school.
This guy that recently killed 17 people, do you think he was evil?
I don't think he was evil per se.
Do you think this guy was evil?
It's hard to define the difference between evil and what's good, but I feel like...
Why is it hard? I think he was evil?
I don't know.
Was he evil?
Evil? I mean, evil's... I don't know about evil.
Just... How do you define evil? Why are you hesitating to say that? 17 people murdered, innocent people. How many people do I have to murder before you say evil?
Yeah, I'll say he's... It's an evil person.
So it was a person who commits rape evil?
Yes.
Okay, so a man who kills 17 people, is he evil?
Okay, so you're putting...
He killed some women.
He killed women. It doesn't matter if it's women or men.
Well, he worse than raped them. You'll say rape is evil, but you won't say murder. Mass murder is evil. Why not? You know, this guy that killed 17 people, was he evil?
You know, deep down, I want to say no one's evil.
Why do you think there were school shootings?
I think it has to do... it's a mixture of things. You know, the stricter gun laws and maybe just, like, focusing on mental health issues.
Also, it's a mental illness awareness issue.
I feel like it starts with mental health. He probably wasn't getting the proper help that he needed.
No one knows what he went through.
The poor kid was probably bullied. If you're referring to the one in the Florida attack, right? He was an orphan, correct, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, but there are millions of orphans that don't go out and kill people, and millions of people bullied. I was bullied as a kid. Were you bullied as a kid?
Yes.
So why are they doing it? Why are there so many people? I mean, our great fear is terrorism. You know, some Islamic terrorists showing up at a school and blowing people up. But this is American against American. Why is this happening?
That's a question that I think no one can answer that.
I don't know the answer. I mean, how do we stop this happening again? And we have no answer.
I got another question for you. Are you good or evil?
I like to think that I'm good.
So, are you good or evil?
Am I good or evil? I think I'm in between.
So, what's your judgment? How do you make that judgment as to what's good and evil?
Well, I think everybody has a little dark side in them themselves. Like,
what about you?
Do I have a dark side? Not really.
So what, say that's your dark side that's speaking to me now. How do you know if someone's mentally ill? Do you think this guy who killed 17 people was mentally ill?
I mean, it's super tricky, I think. I mean, I honestly don't think I have a simple solution to it. I don't think there is a simple solution to anything that's going on right now. I'd rather keep him locked up and just have him realize, like, what he's done, you know?
Hang on, he already knows what he's done is wrong. We're just going to feed him and clothe him, give him free lodging for life?
I think it's worse to just suffer in prison by yourself and go crazy than to just get killed and, you know, get it over with that. You know what I mean? Like,
I thought the guy was already crazy.
Yeah, but he'll go even more crazy and he'll just suffer.
And it's insane people. We don't want to get a hold of guns, but it's not just insane people. It's evil people. This guy that killed 17 people, was he insane or was he evil?
That's just malicious. Yeah, he's evil, I guess. But
so what should happen to him?
I don't know. What
should you put him to death?
I wouldn't put him to death.
You got a sister?
You
got a mother?
Got a mother, yes.
Let's say this guy put her in the crosshairs and shot her through the head. What would you say? You want to put in...
You're going into my sphere of moral concern now. So.
Could he be executed?
Wow. That'd be kind of ironic, but yeah, sure, why not?
So now I can...
What happened to him?
Now I would get mad, yeah, and then, of course...
He put to death.
I don't know if you... that's a law. You could go either way with that.
This is real hot button topics. I understand. I know. I just feel like I can't personally, you know, decide whether or not somebody dies. You know, abortion.
That's making the decision whether or not someone lives or dies.
Right. So I mean, I guess. With that logic,
you should say immediately I'm against it because of your philosophy.
Yeah, of course I am. It's again, these are just all hot because I also believe that if it's your body, you get to do what you like with it. But also, you know, I'm pro-life, and so
So it's okay for a woman to kill her baby, but you wouldn't do it yourself.
No, oh my gosh. No.
You've got to stand against it. It's not the woman's body, it's someone else's body. Your body isn't your mother's body.
Right, I know.
So it's. People like you that haven't made their mind up strongly that allow people who think it's a woman's right to kill her own child to go ahead and do it. Do you think this nation has lost the fear of God?
Yes, that's definitely, I'd say, a point that makes people want to lash out like that. And
see, if you don't fear God, you don't care about you shall not kill. And so you go out and kill because you're upset at someone. Even if you're upset at people you don't know, you just kill them anyway because you don't fear God. Everything I do as a Christian, I think, is this going to get God's smile or his frown? And that's how I govern my life. And that's how America became a great nation, because it feared God. It didn't just draw near to God with its lips. It meant it when it said, God bless America. So you're saying the reason people are killing each other is because too many in the population would be good if a lot died off and everyone would be happy?
Massive culling? Yeah, I think...
No, stop it. So, are you an atheist?
Yes.
So you believe the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything? It's crazy talk. Isn't that what you believe? Nothing created everything? After one school shooting, the Associated Press reported, authorities in Kentucky said a teenager accused of fatally wounding two high school classmates and wounding several others showed no remorse when talking about the carnage. Police say Gabriel Ross Parker seemed to view his actions as a science experiment. Parker told police that he wasn't bullied and that no event triggered the shootings. Asked about Parker's motives, Heibrich said, "The biggest thing he gave me was that he said he was an atheist and that his life had no purpose and other people's lives also had no purpose." When a nation becomes secularized and forsakes the Ten Commandments, it has no definition of evil. And when nothing is considered evil, anything is either acceptable or excusable, whether it's adultery, pornography, homosexuality, fornication, blasphemy, mass murder, or even cannibalism, as in the case of the famous atheist Richard Dawkins, who's admired by millions. In an article in the National Review entitled "Dawkins Wants to Eat Human Meat," the review said, quote, "Researchers may soon be able to manufacture meat from cell lines in the lab, and Dawkins has suggested in a tweet that we could overcome our taboo by eating human flesh so manufactured." Then the review said, "The unique, equal, and inherent dignity of every human life is a core belief of Judean Christian moral philosophy and a foundation principle of Western civilization. Indeed, every historical evil committed in the West, slavery, eugenics, Jim Crow, the Holocaust, the Inquisition, you name it, flowed directly from rejecting or disregarding that principle." In his book, River Out of Eden, Dawkins said, "There is no purpose, no evil, and no good. We're merely dancing to our own DNA."
Helen Fisher is a biological anthropologist at the Kinsey Institute.
Let's go back a million years. A man has one wife and has two children. But if he occasionally goes over the hill and sleeps with another woman and has two extra children, he's doubled the amount of DNA he has sent tomorrow.
So adultery made it more likely that any given gene pool would continue.
Yes.
But that's how the humans evolved. Like, we evolved to have hope, you know? Like, we always got to hope for a better future, so.
So who made us evolve?
That's the question I can't answer. I don't know. Is it evolution or God or God? In my opinion, I'm a Christian atheist. I believe in the teachings of the Bible, but not in, like, that fairy tales type of stuff, but.
So you're an atheist?
Guess so, yeah.
You believe the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, that could be insane.
It's not could be, it is. Yeah. Nothing can't create anything because it's nothing.
Well, no one was there in the beginning, so no one.
God was there in the beginning. He says so. In the beginning, God.
It's a different generation now, you know? It's just different.
Well, do you think they feared God in those days? America was called a God-fearing nation in those days.
There was more. I would think there was more Christians back then than now, you know, in some ways.
You believe in God's existence?
I believe that there's something, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm still kind of like on my own journey about that kind of thing, you know? I can't really answer that question.
You think about your own death?
Oh, yeah. I think everyone does.
You can't even define evil, let alone make a judgment, but God sees everything that we do that's wrong as evil. There are degrees of evil, but lying is evil to God. It's an abomination, the Bible says. So is stealing. So what I'm trying to say is that we as a nation have lost our moral rudder. We're just floating in an ocean, a storm, where we're scared to call anything evil. I don't know why. Maybe because it invokes the thought of God. Okay, in the 1950s, America was called a God-fearing nation. They esteemed the Ten Commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not take God's name in vain. They respected that. And there was a form of godliness, and most people, I think 99%, believed in God. We've become a nation filled with blasphemers that use God's name as a cuss word, that commit adultery and do things that are an abomination to them, including murder and pornography, which you say is normal and right and rational, and everyone should be okay to do it. And I think we need to have our heart changed as a nation so that we love other people and don't go out and kill them.
But I think we're now in an age where religion isn't as taught as it was before, back in the 50s.
You still think you're a good person?
Yes.
You think a lying thief is a good person?
No.
Okay. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay, that's called blasphemy.
I'm a good person.
Okay. Now, Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Will, I'm not judging you. If you just told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterate heart, four of the Ten Commandments. If God judges you by those commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I guess guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
Does that concern you?
A little bit.
A big bit?
No.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in hell.
No. I'd rather go up there.
Well, it does concern you. I'd hate you to go to hell.
Yeah, I do.
Now, do you know what God did for guilty sinners so you wouldn't have to go to hell? Any idea?
He died on the cross?
Yeah, he took our punishment. What did he do?
Went on the cross, died for our sins.
Suffered and died on the cross. Took the punishment.
His last words on the cross were, "It is finished." In other words, the debt has been paid. I broke God's law, the Ten Commandments, and Jesus paid the fine. The last words on the cross were, "It is finished." In other words, the debt has been paid. Well, God can let you live forever because the fine was paid by Jesus on the cross. The Bible says God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made righteous in the sight of God. And then he rose from the dead, defeated death, and if you repent, well, turn from your sins and trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute, God will forgive your sins in an instant and grant you everlasting life. Now, do you think I'm telling the truth?
Yes, I do.
What about you, young lady? You two having sex?
Yes, we are.
Okay, that's called fornication. And the Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what you have to do is repent of your sins, turn from them, and trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute or like you trust an umbrella, okay? You're sheltered from the rain. And if you have Christ, you're sheltered from God's wrath against your sin. You're clean, you're righteous, you're cleansed because of what Jesus did on the cross. But you must trust alone in Christ. Now, at the moment, you're trusting in your goodness. You've got to trust alone in Jesus. When are you going to do that?
Right now.
Right now? Now, do you have a Bible at home?
Yes.
Okay, when did you last read it, Dobby? Long time ago?
Yes.
So will you please think about this? Please get right with God today. You know how many people die every day? 150,000 people. Just like you and me stand there with an umbrella, you know, heart attack, aneurysm, shot in the back. This is California. You just don't know when you're going to go, okay? So please think about this and make sure you get right with God when you leave here. Just in your heart, say, "God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me." And trust alone in Jesus. Now, can I give you a book that I wrote?
Sure.
So both of you take seriously what I'm saying. Do you love this lady? Get right with God and marry her. You can do it for $5 in Vegas. Okay?
$5 in Vegas.
So you hear that? If you love her, treat her honorably, not just as a sex object. Show her you love her by doing the right thing. So, Will, if you died today and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell. There are two things you have to do to be saved. Repent and trust alone in Jesus. When are you going to do that? When are you going to?
Right now.
Right now.
I've already started.
Yeah, well, make sure you're serious.
Yeah.
The first thing is to stop. Don't be the hypocrite and say, "God, I trust you, but I'm going to be a fornicator." That's hypocrisy. Don't deceive yourself, okay? Because this will be as real as you are. Trust in them with all your heart. Don't play the hypocrite. Now, do you have a Bible at home?
Yeah.
When did you last read it?
Never.
Never? Okay.
No one knows, like, 100%.
We do. I know 100%.
Okay. You know 100%.
Well, if you put your hand in the fire, you know the flame is hot.
True, yeah.
Out of belief. And I came to know God 46 years ago. And you're born again. God takes you out of darkness into light. He reveals himself to you. That's what a Christian is. And that's what I'm saying you need. You need to repent of your sins. Let go of them. Don't be like the rich man who fell in the ocean, wouldn't let go of his gold belt, and it took him under. If you hold on to your sins, they'll take you to hell. And I'd hate that to happen. I'd be horrified. You'd have fallen at the hands of the living God. You've just told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. So if you face God on judgment day and he judges you, yeah, well, you could say that. On judgment day, you'll be guilty and end up in hell. Does that concern you?
No.
You don't love life?
No.
You do love life?
No, I don't love life.
So you hate life?
Very much so.
Become a Christian and you'll die to your evil self. You give up the battle against God. That's what happens when you become a Christian. You die to yourself and you live for God. You're resurrected in a newness of life.
So therefore he's cool with me living my own life the way I see fit.
No, you're under his wrath. You're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works. That's why you need to repent.
I messed up. It sounds like a bully to me.
Well, every judge sounds like a bully to a guilty criminal.
Ah, that's a good one.
So you need to repent and trust Christ. Man, I care about you. Jose, I love you. I care about you. The answer to this, the problems in this nation is love. And when you love someone, you don't kill them.
If you see somebody who's maybe, I don't know, crying somewhere, you should put me to somebody like, oh.
You don't see that very often. I walk around and I see people crying.
Probably hurt, you know.
How do you know they're hurt?
Their face expressions. I don't know, you just gotta be more friendlier to the people around you. You just gotta realize it's a tough world out here.
You gotta be more loving.
Yeah.
You're in mortal danger, and I'm just telling you.
Yes, I am. I guess I'm fine with that.
I'm not. It's like the guy gets in his car with broken brakes, heading for the 1,000-foot cliff, and saying, "I'm fine with that." No, he's not. Check your conscience.
And I get you.
You know I'm speaking the truth.
Yeah.
you know I'm speaking the truth because your conscience bears witness with exactly what I'm saying. So what do you think about this? It's been an interesting conversation, but I want you to think about it.
Yeah, I'll think about it for sure. I'll think about Christianity.
If more and more people become secular, we're basically teasing the bull here.
Well, you've got the bull attacking you. This is what's happening with school shootings. We've got a secular nation. We've got a nation that draws near to God with its lips, but its heart is far from him. We've got to turn to God as a nation and as individuals and say, please forgive us, and he promises to heal our land. That's the answer to the school shootings.
That Baptist shooting wasn't done under the name of God, though?
Hitler did what he did in the name of God.
Got me there.
All politicians kiss babies and say they love God. That's how to get votes. And so don't be fooled by what people say. Look at what they do. And if someone's a Christian, they will love you and be concerned about your salvation. That's why I'm concerned for you. Jose, please think about this, okay?
I'll try. I actually recently went to a Bible study.
Jesus said you must be born again in John chapter 3. And you're born again the moment you stop saying I'm a good person. And you say I'm evil and I repent of sin and I trust alone in Christ. Not my goodness, not my Catholicism, not my confession, but I trust alone in him as my Savior. That's what you need to do. And the moment you do that, God will give you a new heart with new desires. And you won't run around saying, I think it's okay for a woman to kill her baby because it's her own body. You'll know right from wrong because you're out of the darkness. You're into light yourself. Does this make sense?
This makes 100% sense, yes.
Can I pray with you?
Of course, yeah. I'd love to. No, I think, honestly, this has been great. I think I needed this today. Thank you.
This is the answer to school shootings. If everyone loves and fears God, they won't hate someone. They'll love them. They won't shoot them. They'll do them good. Love your enemies. But we need to turn to God and with our whole heart and say, please forgive us as a nation and forgive us individually. And he promises to heal our land if we do that.
Blessed is the nation whose God is their Lord. Psalm 33:12. Hey, you can do a search engine for that. Ray, look up Ray Comfort, and this just got posted last night. And the reason why I give this to you is that that's the answer. Wherever Christianity, I'm talking biblical Christianity, not American Christianity, not Western culture Christianity. I'm talking biblical Christianity, where people go and live out and do God's word. People are liberated. That's why David Livingstone went to the dark continent of Africa to find more trade routes, so the Muslim slave traders would stop capturing native people. Understand those first slaves who came to America were not black, but they were Irish and immigrants. They were street kids picked up off the street. That's why the Salvation Army was started, by the way, because a lot of street kids were being scooped up and shipped off to other countries as slaves. And so William and Catherine Booth started the Salvation Army there in England. So you look at the origins of all these things. Wherever Christianity, biblical Christianity, is taught and it's lived out, it brings freedom. I have a friend, some of you know them here, spent 20 years in India with one people group, gave them a written language. In fact, the first written language was the death of their sixth child, who died after about 7-8 months of life. And the first written language of this native people group is on his son's grave, which is Job, I think it's 17:13 or 13:17. Yet though he slay me, that I will still praise him. And he wrote and gave them a written language and gave them the Gospel of Mark. That's because Jesus Christ came into his life and radically changed him. He went out and did that. He didn't go to another country and conquer and kill. He didn't go. And so wherever the Bible is taught, women are freed, children are freed, people are educated so they can get the word of God. And so you look at religion has done more, and it's brought people down and enslaves them. So I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. Does your relationship with God make you sure that you will go to heaven when you die? There is no more evil today than there was when Adam fell. It's just we have more exposure to it. This ridiculous thing about gun laws. There's 350 million guns in the United States alone. On average, which has been an average, where it's more popularized now because they do it, but there's on average 56 students a year. It's been this way for almost 20 plus years. 56 students a year on average are killed at school. whether by gun, but we're seeing the whole thing with the guns. There are 13.5 million backyard pools in the United States, conservative estimate. Just in backyard, not hotels, not private clubs, just there's 13.5 million backyard pools. On average, 3,500 children a year die from drowning. There's 350 million guns in the United States. On average, 56 high school students or elementary school kids die a year. Why aren't they banning pools? Vehicular homicide. Kids and people are, more people are killed because of automobiles than all of the gun totals and people and stuff. Look at the most gun-restricted city in the nation, Chicago. And there's over 1,300 homicides a year. They don't even investigate. You have to turn yourself in if you want to confess to a murder. You can look. And just in this time, in this weekend, there was almost 72 shootings just in Chicago alone. Look at the deaths. They average about 15, 16 a weekend. Chicago, bad place to go on the weekends. Go during the week like I do. These are the things. So it isn't guns. I can tell you this. Yesterday, or I checked the facts this morning, 350 million guns in the United States did not kill anybody this morning. Now, some people did. They used knives. They used their own hands. They used vehicles. But 350 million guns did not get up and walk out and kill anybody today. And we see what's happening in the United Kingdom. We see what's happening in London. People are dying from knife attack. There was more last month, 56 murders in London. They surpassed New York. They surpassed New York and Chicago together, and that was knives. It is the tool, but it's what's in that person's heart. And so why we're going to go through and we study the Bible? Because the one thing that is true, if I can get and teach you God's word and you can get God's word in you, your life is radically going to change. And you're going to change the lives of those around you as well, because you're going to live out God's word. That's why we come, and that's why we study the word of God, and that's why we go book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We finished Romans last week. Hey, now we're in 1 Corinthians. So you look at the depth of depravity. There's no more evil, and there's a lot of evil in Corinth. You can do your own search engine. I don't have to spend a whole lot. I love technology. I love the day and age. I love indoor plumbing, and I love the internet. I love the United States of America, and I'm grateful that I was born here. But when people say, let's go back to the good old days, slavery? How about segregation? I grew up in the 60s. What about segregation? What about the Jim Crow laws? Let's go back to, you know, the good old days when we were fighting the evil empire, the Soviet Union, you know. The Olympics have just not been the same since there's no more USSR. And there goes the Beatles song back in the USSR. There's all these things. What good old days are people talking about? Here's an interesting thing, because I just have thousands of pieces of random useless information floating around in my head. If I could ever make it to Jeopardy, bet on me, but I'm not going to get there. The Kinsey Report, they showed that one sociologist talking about behavioral science from the Kinsey Institute. Kinseyan was a pedophile. He raped and molested over the course of 30 years hundreds of boys and girls. And he documented it all. And that's the study that says 10% of the United States are homosexuals. They go all back to Kinsey. He was a pedophile. And now there's an institute that she studies at. They took all his research because they said, well, hey, what he did was horrible and was bad. But let's look at the results. And all he did, because, again, being an evolutionist and being an atheist, thinking, well, it's just a scientific experiment. How do you unlearn the atom bomb? How do you unlearn Dr. Mengele's experiments that he did on the Jews in the concentration camps? Medical science gets it and says, well, it's horrible what he did, but we can't deny the Kinsey was a pedophile, a rapist, and ruined thousands and thousands of little children. And that's where we got what it came out of, because that was in the late 40s through the 50s, and that's what also spurned the sexual revolution of the 60s, you know, where women burned their bras and feminists and men left their wives and their children and liberated themselves. Hey, I'm a product of that. My pop split when I was 9 months old. So there is no more evil. But what we can do is, you want to cross-reference this and do your homework. John chapter 17. That really is the Lord's Prayer. That's Jesus praying for us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Teach us how to pray. No, no. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. He says to sanctify us. He says, don't take them out of the world. Keep them in the world. I've been fighting with that for a long time because I want to go. But keep them in the world. And why they're in the world? Because he says, if I was to tell you to not to abstain from all the ungodly, then I would have to take you out of this world. But no, keep them in the world. Keep them in the world and sanctify them with truth. And what is the truth? The Word of God. You know, Sir Edmund Burke gave a quote and said, it's an old dead dude from England. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Listen, there is no darker darkness. You can't get darker. You can't get, and we know this in Minnesota, you can't get colder cold. All right? You can't get darker darkness. Why does darkness exist? Because the absence of light. Why is there coldness? Absence of heat. That's why in the beginning, God created the earth, and what happened? It was void and formless, all right? It's like some preachers I've listened to, void and formless messages. But they're Genesis 1:1. But here, God says he brought light. So why does it seem like it's getting eviler and eviler and eviler? Well, we got social media, we got Snapchat, we got all these things that bring it around. You would think, because of every television show and everything that's on the news, that there is rampant homosexuality, that really, that means if there really is 10% of the population that are homosexual, for one, that means 1 out of 10 people here or 1 out of 10 people you know are homosexual. And it's just not there. I ask them, how many flamers do you have in your family? Who's doing this? And what all about the transgender? It's because it's so much in the media and they've got control of that, it's popularized. It's the same thing as the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. In fact, Zechariah tells us that not only will we look upon him whom we had pierced, and we're like, wow, because the only man-made thing in heaven are the scars and the hands and the feet that we put upon Jesus in his body. But the other thing that we'll see is we'll look upon him who tormented us, and we'll say, that? It's a paraphrase by Chick. That scared me? That made me nervous. We'll see for the imp. Now listen, don't go devil chasing. Don't get arrogant. These fallen angels, they have a lot of powers that you and I don't have. I mean, so don't be going messing with them, but do as the Word of God says, the Lord rebuke you, and do that. Listen, as we go through Corinthians, it is a horrible society. Listen, ours is abortion, and 54,000 kids will be murdered here pretty soon in the womb. But in Corinth's time, they didn't have abortion like they have now. So you would take your child, supposedly, and go worship, and you put that baby in a fire, like you're worshiping your God. It's sort of a sacrifice here. And that was a way to get rid of it. If you couldn't do that, you just leave your child out on a wall somewhere for someone to, kill it or do whatever. It was the Christians in Paul's time who went around and started orphanages and started getting kids and bringing them in. And you'll see that through the whole New Testament there. It was the Christians who went into those. Atheists don't start hospitals and schools. They've taken over educations. Of the first 21 colleges in the United States, Yale and Harvard were two of those. The first 119 were all Christian colleges. They were Christian. They were there for religious. They were there for teaching the Bible. And then you need to know math and sciences. But find that today. Those were started. They start schools. They liberate people. Where biblical Christianity is taught and it's done, people will live that out. So that's why here at Calvary Chapel St. Paul, we're going to go through book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so the Word of God can permeate and be in our lives. And we will, if you were in a dark world, and the only reason why it's getting darker is because we're going to it, right? I mean, light. You and I shine the light. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We're not to be doing our good deeds to be praised for them. If you do, then yay, there you go, you got your reward. Store it for heaven. But when people see you living your life, Sothenes, his religion in Judaism came to a screeching halt when all those who turned on him beat him. And now here he is, as the Holy Spirit points out to us, that Sothenes. And here Paul the Apostle, by the will of God, He tells them here, Jesus called us to be saints. That's not a dead person who has two recorded miracles to their name after 150 years of being dead. That's some church based out of Rome with a guy with a tall hat. That's what they believe. But saint is a slang, is a term used for you and I, sanctified, saint of God. He tells us here that he's called us to be sanctified with all that is every name of the Lord. It's our Lord. Be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Ask yourself, do people thank God for me? If not, you got to change some things around. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. What about this? Christians are brain dead, mind numb, check your brain at the door. No, God's word says to have all this wisdom and this utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you the end, and that you may be our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you and I beg you, verse 10, where we'll leave today. I beseech you, beg you, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me from my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. That should not be so amongst us, folks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we leave today, that there would be no contentions, no division among us. But Lord, there's no greater evil than you. Praise the Lord. My prayer is that you've been blessed with this Sunday morning live broadcast. Remember, you can tune in each Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m. Central Standard Time, or to our Thursday night live broadcast, which is at 7:35 p.m. each Thursday night.